And here in Luke chapter 14 this morning, we're going to be talking a bit about committed to follow, being committed to follow. We see some great stories here, and as you look through the entire chapter itself, in the beginning, let's take a look at the first few verses. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." It's very interesting that they even watched Jesus Christ eat. They watched him as he goes into this Pharisee's house on the Sabbath day. Note that they often would go on the Sabbath day and pick on Jesus Christ for that one thing. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it was very hard for them to find anything else to accuse him of.
That's correct.
So they went on the Sabbath day specifically, would go to some of these different places so that they can find way to accuse our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then he comes with some very profound parables that he starts to explain to these people as they sit down to eat. Okay? Because they, of course, try to accuse him, is it lawful to heal a man on the Sabbath day? Well, jump down, as we would, to verse number 8. It says, "When thou art bidden of a man to a wedding, sit not down at the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him." Now, again, he's talking of a situation. You're bidden to a wedding, and typically there's what at the wedding? There's food. We're talking more about food, Pastor. Absolutely. You got me on the track, and now I keep going.
We can't miss the subject of food.
They are talking about that. So Jesus Christ gives them an example of people sitting down at food. But he's giving them this example to show them that, look, if you're in a person of position and you are bidden to come to a place, you've been asked to come to that wedding, that celebration, he says, don't go and take the highest seat. You go and humble yourself and take the low seat. Amen?
That's right.
The Lord really does give that greatest example of being humble, because he himself was God, take on flesh, that he would come down and humble himself to put on sinful flesh, not having sin himself, that he would come and humbly die on a humble cross for you and I. What an amazing thing that this is, and a great example. But yet he gives this parable, giving us another example. If we sit down to eat with others, don't take the most honorable seat. He wants us to practice humility. And then if you jump down a little bit, let's go to verse 12. It says, "Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made of thee." He first talks about the people that were asked to come to this dinner. And those people that will come, if you have a position, humble yourself. If you're the one who is asking the people to come to dinner, he says, go and get all your rich friends and have them all come over. And it's like, hey, tomorrow we're going to your house, guys. Yeah, all right. That's not what he said. He said, go find your neighbors. He said, go to the poor. Go take care of those that cannot give you anything back.
Amen. Mm-hmm. There you go.
There is a sense of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he calls upon us, when he bids us to come to his supper, are we ready to serve?
Amen.
In all humility? Because it's required. He gave us the greatest example of doing so. So whether part of that may be we are very hospitable people, we love to invite people to come over to our house, think of maybe inviting somebody who is maybe less fortunate. Invite somebody who does not stick out in the crowd, who is kind of the one that's off to the side, always so shy and by themselves. Hey, would you like to come to eat? Because in that, you honor our Father.
Amen, brother. That's right. That's good.
And the one that we're going to concentrate the most on here this morning starts in verse 16. This one, Jesus Christ is giving an example of those that are called to a supper once again. And let me be right up front with you and tell you that when he's speaking here, he's speaking mainly of Israel. Mm-hmm. He's speaking mainly of the Jews that have rejected him. Mm-hmm. He came into the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own knew him not. And through the book of John, you see that time and time again, where he's trying to express to them, I am the Father, I am the Father, I am the Father. And they keep looking towards him, and they're like, but yet, the Sabbath day. You keep breaking that Sabbath day. Nicodemus got it. You know, in John chapter 3, we always jump to John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world. Yes, he did. But do you know who he was saying that to? Nicodemus, a Pharisee. One of those pompous guys that walked around, and but he was humble. He came to Jesus Christ that night, and he said, no man can do these things except God be with him.
That's right.
He noticed this. My friends, when we notice this, and this same God calls us to sit down to eat with him, oh boy, what a tremendous blessing that it is. But what I want to warn you of here this morning is that when he calls you, don't do as Israel once did and reject his invitation. Let's read here in verse 16. We'll read from verses 16 to 24. The Bible says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, and all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make what?
Excuse.
Remember, this is Israel. When he first came to them, the very first ones. Now, although as a nation they rejected him, let's not forget, the first disciples were Jewish. God has a plan. Amen. God is not done with them yet.
Amen.
In verse 18, they made excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I bought a piece of ground? I mean, to us, yes, okay, we think he bought a parcel of land. He's gonna build something on it. So he's got something invested in this ground that he had bought. Jesus would at one time give a parable saying that there was a man that saw a land that had a treasure in it. And when he found that treasure, he went and bought that parcel of land so that he could obtain that treasure. And why he gave this parable was because he said that we should have a faith that is just like that. When we see the grace and the goodness of God, we should want to buy everything that it has to do with the Lord and jump right in and try to dig and scrape and find until we find all of the treasure that we can get down to the very last nugget. But here this man buys a parcel of ground. And he's got the treasure standing right before him saying, hallelujah, come unto me.
Amen.
And you know what he does?
The King of Kings.
Permit me to go and take care of my ground first. No. Follow Jesus.
Amen.
Come to the supper. I mean, are you not hungry? Are you not thirsty? Another in verse 19 said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. So he has a business. He buys 5 yoke of oxen. He's either going to use some of them to work the land and sell some of them to some other people, but he's going to make some kind of gain from that purchase that he had. I got to go and make sure that I settle all these things first, Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus says to him? Drop it. Come and follow me. Whoa. Why would we make excuse when the Lord of glory is standing right there before us? If he calls you to his supper, you better come.
Mm-hmm.
Because when those doors close, it'll be too late.
That's right.
Look at verse 20. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. But look, I want to point something out to you.
These people initially made a commitment. They did. Because he said that he went out and bade them to come already. But when the time and the hour came for him to come to the dinner, they all said, let's make an excuse. They agreed to do that. Meaning he did it ahead of time, and they said, yes, I will come. And they rejected God's invitation. You see how that plays hand in hand with how the Bible shows us that Israel rejected God's invitation? My friends, don't reject God's invitation. Come to him today.
Amen.
When you first start off with your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let go of that plow. Keep going forward and keep going forward. Don't look back. Remember that song, I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back. So here this man, he just got married, he says. And I cannot come because I just got married. But yet you said already that you would go. So he lied. So what did the servant do? Because the servant was the one that went and told all those people, and they made that commitment. And verse 21, that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being exceedingly excited and happy, said to his servant, was he exceedingly excited and happy? No, he was angry. He said, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Mm-hmm. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. Woo. As thou hast commanded. And yet there is room. Now, if you take a look at this, they're having this conversation, and no, besides the comma that is there, in no way do we see that there was a pause and he went out and did this stuff. Guess what? This servant knew what his master was going to say. So he went and already started inviting a bunch of other people along the way and said, you should come, and you should come too. And how about you? Come on. We're all going to go because there's a supper and it's all ready, and why don't you just come? Look at the faithfulness there. I highlighted this because it just reminds me of Jesus Christ, that faithful servant of God that already knows every single one of us. He already knows the will of the Father. So when he's come and he says, come unto me, just let you know, dinner's ready, guys.
Amen. Amen.
Dinner's ready.
Amen.
You got the little triangles like back in the days there. Ding, 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 ding. It's supper time, supper time. Come on in, everybody, it's supper time. Jesus is calling you. Ding, 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 ding. It's supper time. Come on, let's be at the table of our Heavenly Father. Let's sit down together. Let's not go back.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled.
Bless.
Here is Jesus Christ, but here is the church as well. Yeah. We are to go out into the hedges and into the highways. We are to go out to Motel 6 or to wherever else the Lord takes us and compel them to come. Yeah. Maybe it's your neighbor that's next door. Maybe it's your boss that you work with. Maybe it's somebody that works for you. Go out and compel them to come. So can I share a couple of things with you here this morning? There's three steps in following Jesus. The first thing that we see here in the scriptures, my brothers and sisters, is that there's an invitation. There's a personal invitation. I mean, how rude would it be for us if we were sent and we had a written invitation that was sent personally to you and you don't want anything to do with it? God Almighty, greater than any king in this world, greater than any governor that we could find, has sent you a personal invitation. And he wrote it with his blood and with his hands. And guess what? It's right here. The first step that we find is that the Lord gives us an invitation to come and eat. It's personal.
Amen.
The second is that
we have a choice. Once that invitation is given out, you are responsible to choose. Am I going to say yes, or will I say no? Will I surrender to the will of what God wants, or will I do whatever I want? Sometimes we think that we have a better way about things, and the Bible tells us that a man's ways will end up in where? In hell and destruction. If we trust in those ways. But where do we trust? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single thought that we have, every single idea that comes, every act that we do will be established and founded in Him. Don't surrender. Don't turn back. The third step in following Jesus is the actual action. You know, James writes very well, in a very eloquent way, telling us that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Amen.
We can do in some part, but think deep down inside of yourself. Has the Lord ever called you into doing something more than what you're doing right now?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Has He put a plate before you and you're sitting down with Him and you decided at one point to get up from that table? The call today, my brothers and sisters, is come back. We plead and we cry and we ask because the harvest is ready, as you can see, but the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. We need you to work. Pastor, you're getting paid to work. I do it whether I get paid or not.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Do you know what? Because I've done it while I was working a full-time job teaching.
Right.
I was teaching at ITT Tech, and I was in substitute teaching in schools and doing this, that, and the other thing while I was pastoring a church.
Bless God.
I don't care. Let us give our all. And I'm not saying, well, you know, if He hadn't called you, then you know the calling that God has placed in your heart. But if He's called you, this message, I hope, will stir you up a little bit.
Amen.
Because if He's called you and you're not doing what He's called you to do, you need to do it.
Amen.
He's given you a written invitation. He's put that calling and burden in your heart. And it hurts you and burns inside of you so much that you repress it and push it away so often. But now's the time to wake up. Now's the time to come and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
That's right.
Would you serve Him today?
Please.
Would you serve the Lord Jesus today? We must choose to follow. You see, here they were invited to a dinner. They got their invitation. They made a commitment. They said that they would go. But along the way, they come and gathered together and said, I got a lot to do here. I don't know. What about you? I think we should just tell Him we can't come. How rude of us to go before an almighty God who gives us an amazing invitation, a glorious invitation to come and to sit at His table, and us to say yes, only to walk away. He doesn't want us to do this. He wants us to follow Him. We need to make that choice, and we need to take the action. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you follow Him? Or will you go on about your own way? Because there's many dangers that are before us when we don't choose to do what God has called us to do. Here's one problem that they've encountered. Look at verse 28 and then at verse 31. 28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not first down and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish? Look at verse 31. Or what king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? My friends, we need to count the cost. We don't flippantly come to God and say, yeah, I'll do that. That sounds great. But then find out, man, that's a lot of work. I better step away from this. We can't step back. And guess what? If we do step back, get back on track.
Amen.
Follow the Lord once again. I'm not saying that because we're not doing a certain thing, we're not following God. What I'm saying is this: if you specifically were called and you reject what God told you to do, then you are in sin.
That's right.
You need to repent.
Amen.
And turn and do what God called you to do. There are many souls that are depending on it. The next problem that we see, again, is one that I mentioned once before. They made a commitment to come to the dinner, but they could not let go of their possessions. Look at verse 33. It says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." If you forsake not all that you have. Verse 26 puts it in a different way. If any man come to me and hate not father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 26 and 33 are saying the same thing. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
He's not saying that you need to hate your mom and your dad. I mean, if I hated my mom and my dad, I would not be alive today.
It's the pride one.
The truth is that they love their possessions more than they love God.
Mm.
They love their way of life more than they love following what God told them to do. And all he's saying to them is, come and sit at my table and eat. And we can't even do that one simple thing. Help us, Lord. So here's three things that can help you to leave everything behind. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Jesus Christ gave that great example. In Philippians chapter 2, it tells us that he put on flesh, that he came down and he humbled himself. He denied his godly state to come to be here and die for you and me. He came and carried this cross and asks us to go and to carry our cross and to follow him. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, my brothers and sisters. So we have to remember this, that everything that he has is accessible to all of us. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
If he owns it all, and he's called you into something, but you think, I got to take care of this. Nope. If he tells you now's the time to get up and go, now's the time to get up and go. He's going to take care of the finances. He's going to take care of the path. He's going to take care of the way to get there. He's going to take care of the understanding of how to do whatever he's called you to do. God has all of it in his hand.
Amen.
And don't you think for 1 minute that he's not already been preparing you. Those things that you did in the past that you didn't really want to do, but it's like, why in the world am I doing this? It's like when you're in school and, you know, math class, and they ask this question all the time, the math teachers, and I taught math too. They're like, what am I going to use this for? When am I ever going to use this?
Yeah.
When am I going to use this? We could do the same thing in many situations in our life in the past. God, I went on a Saturday morning for many years and taught some kids how to play some soccer. How is that going to be helpful? Maybe the Lord was preparing me to shepherd people.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right?
Amen, brother.
Who knows the way that the Lord will use us to go and to do his will? The first step for us to leave it all behind is to deny yourself and follow him. Jesus said to the young rich ruler, one thing thou lackest,
Yeah.
Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me. I mean, he's saying the same thing here in Luke chapter 33, or chapter 14, verse 33. Are you willing to leave it all and follow him? Sometimes we don't have to. But just to know that our hearts are broken enough, and we have that contrition there, and we have that humility to say, God, I would leave it all if that's what you want me to do.
Amen.
He's looking for that too. Doesn't mean that he's going to say, yeah, you have to give it all away. Because sometimes he doesn't. The second thing is follow excellence. Follow excellence. We have to understand that Jesus Christ is the greatest excellence that we could ever see in this world. And if we don't follow him, who are we going to follow?
Yeah.
We follow our own ways. I mean, I went to RIT here. Graduated electrical engineering degree. Worked as an engineer for 6 years. And what an amazing time that was. Because the greatest thing was, I worked with people. We designed buildings. We designed hospitals and schools, colleges, all over. And I helped to design these things, the electrical side of it. And you know what? None of that compares to where I am right now, serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Like, but I'm not a fool to say that those experiences that I had were not useful for me today. Mm-hmm. I prayed and begged the Lord and asked him, because I was seriously considering, before I started college, to not go to RIT and instead go to a Bible college that I could just go straight in. But the Lord said no. Sounds weird. But I ended up here in Rochester. And ended up in the School of Hard Knocks with my professor, my main professor being Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the other professor being Pastor Jose Rodriguez.
Sorry.
And it was a great time to be able to learn so much through experience, watching as God used this man and many others in the ministry to follow Jesus Christ. Inspired me so much to continue to follow Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're considering going away to college, you're doing a great thing to come and looking for a church to go to. So yeah. I was like, I'm not going if there's nowhere that I can be fed spiritually.
That's right.
And I definitely wasn't going if I couldn't take care of the finances either, which I couldn't. God did. I asked him and he provided for me. I'm so grateful. Yeah. I have no debt. Oh, man.
Amen.
Whew. Jesus Christ is the greatest excellence that we can have. In fact, Philippians 3:14, you guys know that. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That is the highest calling that we could ever have.
Let's
the
go.
Greatest excellence that stands before us. Finally, take your cross. Take up your cross. It is a burden, but it's not as heavy as the burden that you once had.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
That's right. That's good.
We're putting it all on Jesus Christ. And oh, it's great that I can lean on him in ministry. Isn't it great that we can lean on the Lord?
Amen.
I don't have to say, well, thus saith Pastor Craig, when I'm counseling with people. Because I am fallible. I make mistakes all the time. But yet I can say, thus saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Amen?
Amen.
In your families, in your homes. You can say, I know how to be a dad. I learned from my dad and from my granddad and so on. It's like, man, if you don't learn from Jesus, you might as well forget all the rest of it. I'm a great mom. I can do this, that, and the other thing. I know how to bake and do this. That. Man, if you can bake, call me up first, and then we'll all come over and have some cookies. But if you don't have Christ, then it's just not the same.
Right.
Friends, God is calling us. Jesus Christ has bidden us to come to his table. He wants us to sup with him. He wants us to open up the door. And he wants us to stay with him forever.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Has the Lord called you to something? And in ministry, and you just haven't really been doing it?
I mean, it could be some, there's many different pieces. I mean, it could be that, you know, you could be like, I'm going to support this missionary. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take my time out of the day so that I can go and, because I know I've got knowledge of the Bible, I can teach people.
Mm-hmm.
Are you holding back? Or maybe you're starting off just walking in the Lord and you're like, I really want to do something for God. And you've got a calling, but you're not quite sure what it is. You're just getting itchy. That was me, man. I mean, here I was a 16-year-old, and then as I get a little bit older, I was itching, man. I wanted to just serve the Lord, so I came in, and I would take a toothbrush and scrub the toilets if I had to. I was just like, I just want to serve.
Amen, brother. That's right.
That's how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever been you? Has the Lord ever burdened you? Seeing a friend or a neighbor, somebody walking down the street, and you wanted to help them out. You saw a neighbor that, oh man, and you got to figure this out too. There was a fire in not our apartment building, but the one next to ours.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody left on their heating lamp, apparently, and burned up the apartment there. Fire trucks all around them, like, what is going on out there? But it would behoove us, maybe we can try to reach out and see if that family needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
That's also part of a call. My friends, my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is giving you the invitation. Will you say, yes, I'm coming? And then once you do that, I want to encourage you, stay committed to Him. Stay committed to serving Him. And don't turn back.